Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, this is an important psalm for this time of year because I'm in a series about Thanksgiving, and we're not very many days away from that day. But I want to share with you this morning something that's really important, and that is the role of waiting in Thanksgiving. And that's what this psalm is about, because these people have been waiting a long time. Two people were sitting in the oncologist's waiting room, and both have newly discovered lumps under their arm. Some of you have known what that's like. The man who was sitting there was in his 50s, and he was anxious, and he was intermittently pacing back and forth, worried about what he may hear from the oncologist. And he is obsessing about what may be cancer. But there was a woman also sitting nearby him. Her name was Anne. And Anne appears to be slightly older than him and is working on a knitting project. And she's relaxed and serene and, unlike him, apparently not worried at all. The emotional contrast between the two was obvious. Dan is sweating and nervous with a pained appearance on his face. Anne is pleasant and worry-free, knitting a blanket for her granddaughter that she's looking forward to giving at Christmas time. Dan broke the silence between them, and he said, "I haven't been to a doctor for years. This could be the worst day of my life. I'm praying that this is nothing. I didn't know men could get these." And the knitter stopped and expressed her concern. And she said, "Well, I was here 2 years ago with a lump that the doctor aspirated, and here I am again with another. And I've been praying too, but I'm not worried." And Dan was puzzled. "Well, how can it be that you're not worried? The longer I sit here, the more worried I get," he said. And she began to tell him the story of Psalm 126 that we just read, and how that God showed her how to turn her anxious waiting into a time of thanksgiving. And she quoted some from this very chapter in the Bible. Psalm 126 verse 2 says, "We will laugh and sing happy songs, and then others will say, 'The Lord did a great thing.'" And she said, "I've experienced that in my life, and I'm going to experience it again." She went on to share with him three secrets that God had taught her 2 years before from this very passage when she is tempted to worry. And she was equipped to turn anxious waiting times into joyous Thanksgiving times. And maybe you need to know that. Maybe you have temptation to worry, difficult times, and anxiety is before you. Well, she learned these three secrets to peace in her soul from 126. The first one was, dream the experience of hope. That's in verse 1. Secondly, she shared with him to sing in your heart with faith from verses 2 through 4. And then she shared with him how to make love when you wait. And she shared with him what that meant. We learned from the Lord last week that only the humble, those who own their neediness, will ever learn to be thankful. And if you don't know that you're a needy person, and you don't know how desperately you need the Lord, then it's going to be very difficult for you to actually be thankful. The unneedy can't possibly be thankful. They can eat turkey, but they can't experience thankfulness. And when I pray on Thanksgiving Day with my family all around, I'm going to declare, first of all, the humble neediness that we have before our Creator. And I hope you do too. I hope the day of your Thanksgiving, when your family gathers around, that you'll be praying and thanking God for His grace. But I'm also going to be mindful of the long periods of tribulations that help to make us thankful. I have a large family, and so from time to time, we experience tribulation. Things are difficult. But difficult times can make you thankful, can't they, Rich? Psalm 126 is about the people of God who had been conquered and made destitute by the Babylonians. When you read this psalm, what you're reading about is a whole nation of people by the tens of thousands who were conquered by the Babylonians, put in chains, and taken over to the country of Babylon. Because Israel had left Yahweh, the true and the living God, along with His protection, He lifted His protection from them and He let them go their way. They had no sense of need for Him, and so He let them go. God won't make you follow Him. God won't make you love Him, and God won't make you be faithful to Him. God will allow you, let you go your way. And God let them, as an example to us, go their way. And so they were taken in chains to Babylon, and they were there for 70 years. And like sheep before the wolves, they were attacked and carried away to this foreign land for this 70-year period that had been prophesied by God ahead of time. This is known as the 70-year of captivity of Zion. This is what he's talking about in the very first verse, where it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, because God said, I'm going to leave you there 70 years, and then I'm going to bring you home. And so this is the fulfillment of the prophecy that God is going to bring them home. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. What does that mean? Well, if you are in God's waiting room, maybe you've experienced that too. And many of you, maybe you are in God's waiting room. Maybe you're waiting for the next shoe to drop. Learn to be a dreamer, dreaming what it would be all right if it turns out okay, instead of what it, the doom that it appears to be. Anne learned this from her last cancer scare, and this is what she was sharing with Dan. Because Israel had become proud and independent from God, which may describe your condition this morning, He allowed her to go her own way. And as a result, the awful army of Babylon came and destroyed Israel's life and carried away those people into captivity for those long 70 years. But one of the things you learn about God is He is faithful. He made the way so that Israel could be redeemed and return to their home in Israel. And this is the setting for the psalm. When I am let out of prison of anxiety, coming home is like a dream. You see, when they were told, you get to go home, God is going to rescue you, this time is over, they couldn't imagine. It was like a dream to them to be out of prison. And when I'm let out of this prison of anxiety, coming home might seem like a dream to me. The writer, who might be Ezra, by the way, said it would be like a dream to be set free from this misery. What is a dream that he's talking about here? Well, he's really talking about hope. Hope. Maybe your dream is being delivered from your misery. And if you stop and think about it right now, the trouble that you might be in, God wants to deliver you. You have been locked out of your situation and you have been longing to be delivered from your pain, whatever it might be. And as you wait, your dream of being set free is before you. And so you hope your living hell will be turned into heaven. And in your dreaming, you've been waiting. Now, I know this congregation to some degree. I know that many of you are hurting people. And you've been going through a hard time. This psalm is for you. You don't have to worry and you don't have to live in dread because God has delivery for you. The lady who sat in the oncology's office, whose name was Anne, had learned to do more than just hope so. She learned to live in the sure hope of God's promises. Anne did not put her hope in luck. It wasn't a random thing, maybe I don't have cancer this time. It wasn't like that at all. She trusted in God's promises. She put her dream in what God had said. And she had been collecting promises from God like this: I will never leave you or forsake you. Anne's hope that brought her peace came from God, who has never failed to fulfill a promise. Did you know that there's some 7,000 promises in the Bible? That's amazing. A great many of them are intended for you, as a matter of fact. But the God who declared the promises, those promises, has never failed on even one promise. Not one. And you can count on God's word. Dan was counting on luck that his lump would turn out to be nothing. And most of the people in our culture, they have that kind of hope that you call luck. But we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have promises. We have His word of what He has told us that He will do. And we can cling to those. Dan was counting on hope that was not like Christian hope. He was just hoping that, well, maybe he would be lucky and it was just a swollen cyst. And like the captives in Israel, had the promise of God that she would be delivered. She lived that promise that God loves her. Did you know that the Bible promises you that He loves you? He also knew her condition, and she knew that He knew her condition. She knew that He was able to deliver her. And she had learned that He hears her prayer when she prays. And He is acting on her behalf every day. Hope is faith in God's future salvation. And Anne's dream of God's care was her new hope of refuge. She took up residence in God's sure hope. And when Dan's fear was raging and his anxiety was rising, Anne was afloat on God's boat of tranquility. It was very different. What a contrast. Her anxious waiting was turned into joyous thanksgiving by learning to wait on God to deliver her. I hope that's your experience. The psalm goes on to say, at least in another place from Isaiah, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Have you learned to wait on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord is a secret to advancement of your Christian faith. He goes on to say, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. You'll get new perspectives you never had. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Israel began to experience the dream of hope when they were reminded by the prophets that God promised that in 70 years He would deliver you and take you back home. And the day was arriving, and a hope was given that was based on God's promise, not in, well, maybe this is a day we can escape somehow. It wasn't like that at all. It was based on that God had promised that they would be taken home. And so I'm inviting you today to live in the experience of the hope of God's promises. And secondly, Anne showed him another thing that was important from Psalm 126, and that is, learn to sing in your heart. Learn to sing faith songs. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. You've been in trouble when you sang those faith songs. If you don't know what it's like to be desperate and to trust God and to sing in your heart, well, I'm going to try to explain what I'm talking about. Because it says in verse 2 of the same psalm, then our mouth was filled with laughter. Yeah, this is before they were rescued. And our tongue was singing. And then they said among the nations, and this is the title, the Lord has done great things for them. Have you ever been in trouble and your trust was so deep that you could say, It's going to be okay. The Lord is on my side. He's got this. The lyrics of that song that Ezra wrote down is, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. Just as the desert needs water, we need you." Thanks waiting is what I call this. Thanks waiting. Oh, I've coined a new term, thanks waiting. And when you're in trouble and God makes you wait, well, that's the time to practice thanks waiting. It happens when I sing in the past tense what God is going to do yet in the future. Do you know what I'm talking about? That your faith is so strong in God that even though He hasn't delivered you yet, you're already praising God because you know delivery's coming. If God has promised it, it is as sure as it has already happened. And God had promised them, when 70 years has expired, I'm taking you back home. God had already promised that Israel would be delivered and taken back from captivity. And they sang in the past tense what was about to happen. And that is faith. That is biblical love. They sang in their hearts. Now, what is this about worship when people do this sort of thing? Worship is not about technique. Worship is not about talent. And worship is not about performance. Worship is a heart experience. It is running unabandoned to God and throwing your arms around Him when you return to Him in love. Live in the experience of your deliverance before the deliverance even happens. Live in such a way that you trust God that even when you're in trouble, you know God's going to come to your rescue. This is biblical hope. And when this is happening, you can sing about it. You can shout it out. And His promises indeed are abundant. Know them and live them and sing them over and over again. Live that way. Let your mouth be filled with laughter in the waiting room of your trouble. You really honor God when you do that. When you're in trouble and you say, "God, you got this," and however it turns out, "I praise your name because I know you're a good God. You love me and you're going to make this right." When you say that in your heart and you practice that in your song, that brings glory to God. When you know them and live them and you sing them over and over again, let your mouth be filled with laughter in the waiting room. And that's what I'm challenging you to do today. When you get in trouble, praise God then because deliverance is coming in the future for you. And sing it from your heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 expresses it this way: speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You mean when you're in trouble? Yeah, when you're in trouble. That's when faith really counts. On November the 28th, I'm going to thank God for what has not yet happened. That's Thanksgiving Day, by the way. Because I know what is going to happen, and I know that He has promised us that He's going to deliver us. And with my family, which may be 40, 45 people with me that day, I'm going to sing with a group a song of thanksgiving. Did you notice the verse says to sing this among the nations? And that means whatever group you're in. Nations means people group. Nations means whoever you're with, make sure you give a testimony of your faith about God. And so you know what I want to sing that day? And I plan to sing. And I don't know if they'll sing with me because not everybody sings with me. But I'm going to sing, "God, You're So Good." God, You're so good. God, You're so good. You're so good to me. I'm going to sing, "We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, because You're so good to me." Now, that's a simple little chorus. But But what a testimony. Especially if you're in the waiting room of trouble. Remember this. Experience your hope of promise. Sing the promise that you know by faith in your heart. And make love while you wait. Now, what do I mean by that? Make love while you wait. Well, what I mean is do what Anne was doing when she was sitting there. She was acting out love instead of practicing worry. She was busy doing love by knitting a blanket for someone else. She was doing something for someone else in love. Here is how the psalmist ended the psalm. He says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." When life is overwhelming, when it seems like a flood upon you, when anxiety floods your soul, get out your seeds and start sowing. That's what the psalmist is saying. Jesus commanded us not to worry. You can choose to do something else. You cannot control your emotions. Humans aren't able to do that. But you can change your concentration and you can get out the seeds of love for other people. Jesus said not to worry. Instead of practicing fretting, do love stuff. Do a giving thing, because that's what love is giving. I'm not talking about a sentimentality. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm talking about sacrificing yourself, giving your time, talent, treasure, and truth to other people. Perform an act which you expect nothing in return. Now, if I do something for my grandchildren, well, I have ulterior motives because, well, I'm just going to get a hug out of that. But you know what? When you practice sowing seeds like the psalmist is talking about here, well, what I'm talking about is giving without expectation of return. Anne's grandbaby is not going to give her anything in return, too young to even know. And if you take 20 pounds of potatoes to the city mission instead of practicing misery on your couch, well, those people aren't going to give you a thing. The people who eat it aren't even going to know you dropped it off. That's what I'm talking about when I say sow your seeds with joy. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. Love expects nothing but to give and give alone. When you find yourself being unthankful, when you find yourself in misery and practicing misery, I invite you to do this. Worship God. I mean actively worship God. Get out your hymnal and sing a song to God. Sow seeds of worship. Confess your sin for not trusting God and thank God for your situation, because in every situation, God is creating an opportunity you don't even understand that He's doing. He proved that over and over again in Israel's life. Things that seemed to be dire disasters were really opportunities that God was creating to deliver them. And then He would deliver them. And God is doing the same thing in your life. God said, make your request known to God. And then what you should do, instead of practicing misery and worry and anxiety, get up and go love somebody. Get up right then. Go love somebody. There's something you can do. It doesn't have to be an amazing, expensive thing. Just go love somebody. Give them something that they cannot give you in return. And that's what I mean by making love. Like Anne did. Replace your worry with giving. Now, if you're in a situation where you're in trouble and you can't leave, well, what you can do is make a list of what you're going to do when you get up. I'm serious. Jesus said, don't practice worry. Don't practice fretting. Don't practice anxiety. That's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to change anything. Jesus said, it's not going to make you taller. It's not going to make you better. No, make a list of what you're going to do immediately when you get up. Jesus could not move when he was on the cross, but he was very active, practicing love. And so what do you do when you're unthankful and anxious? Well, first of all, what we learn from the psalm is this. Experience the future of God's promise. Dream. Experience the future right then of how God's going to deliver you. Believe. That's called hope. Secondly, what we learn from the psalm is sing in your heart, giving thanks for all things, because all things are working together for desperation. No, it doesn't say that. All things are working together for good, because in the end, it's going to turn out good. In the immediate, it may not be so delightful. But in the end, I promise you, based on God's word, that it's going to turn out great. Giving thanks to God for all things. If you dream, that's hope. If you sing in your heart giving thanks for all things, that's faith. Give time and talent and truth and your treasure without expectation of anything in return. That's love. Practice faith, hope, and love. Distribute some seeds. Let's pray together. Father, I'm here to worship you, and we've all gathered to worship you. Teach us in our heart, Lord, what to do, even in the Thanksgiving season, even when we're hurting, even when we're desperate, even when we're anxious, because, Lord, you have told us what to do. You've told us to trust you. You've told us, Lord, to act in love instead of concentrating on our misery, because we can trust you. You will deliver us. You said you've got this. And Lord, we believe you. Great are you, Lord, and greatly are you to be praised. Lord, as for myself, forgive me from my unbelief that is manifested when I soak myself in worry. Thank you, Almighty God, for showing me the way. Teach me to wait thankfully so that I can learn joy in the morning, even before you deliver me. Help me to get up off my worry butt and to go love people in your name. Show me what to do and show me where to go. Show me who to serve, and I'll do it right now if you'll show me, Lord, when I'm in trouble. Teach us to learn to pray, Lord, trusting you. Teach us to learn, Lord, to be thankful in our tribulation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this morning is such an important day for me. I'm so grateful to the Lord because we've been praying for such a long time for this special day that I want to give thanks from my heart this morning. Will you help me do that? We're going to stand and sing Give Thanks. So let's stand and sing it together. Give Thanks. And we are going to sing it, I promise you. Come on, praise team, come up and help me. Sing it from your heart. Give thanks even when you're in trouble. Give thanks all the time. For he has Children, come up. And congregation, you can sit down for just a moment. We're going to have a prayer of dedication. And I want you to see all these. This is why Susan is being brought on the staff right here. And isn't this wonderful? Look at this. And we have several ministries at Beulah that we thank God that He's given us. Some of it has to do with soccer. Some of it has to do with Sunday morning service. Some of it has to do with Sunday night praise team. Some of it has to do with our scouting program. We have several things going on with young people, and Susan has a lot of responsibility now around all this. Susan, come up here. These children want to give you something. And All right. Now, I wanted us to have a visual of why, and this is the visual right here. And you saw this morning the beginning, seeds were sown and a new band is playing, and you're going to see a lot other things in the future that we're very excited about. Next Sunday morning, all the praise team kids are going to sing. It's going to be quite a morning next Sunday morning, and so you won't want to miss that, which means you better get here early or you're going to be standing out in the foyer. So I hope you do that. Let's give all these kids and Susan a hand of praise to the Lord. You want to say something?
I probably should. It's the green one.
There you go.
I just wanted to thank everybody that came this morning. That makes me want to cry when I see them because I love them so very much. And I also know that the most important thing that you can do for your kids is get them into heaven. And that is what we're trying to do here. So I feel so very blessed by Beulah, and it's been a long time coming to find such a great church home. And I'm just so thankful for my whole family here. So I appreciate you.
We love you, Susan. So this morning we're having a reception. The ladies' ministry has made cake. And who made cake? Coral made cake. You won't want to miss this. Now, this is a reception time, and it's just a getting together with Susan. So don't be in a hurry to leave. We'll be here for about 15 minutes. Cut the cake and have a reception time of being here. Some of you brought her a card or maybe some other things, but make sure at least you come and give her a greeting. And Sam and Debbie are her parents. You know Sam and Debbie? Have you met Sam before? Sam, would you come up here and would you offer the prayer of dedication this morning? Would you represent us? And yes. Yeah, so we've been making a directory, and if you haven't had your picture made, you want to do that. Sam, thanks for coming today.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. If you would pray and close our service, we'd appreciate it.
Okay. Father, we just praise you for Jesus Christ. We just thank you for the love that dwells in our hearts in the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for children that are brought up in the way. We thank you for the leadership, the skills that you've given us, for there's nothing that we have, Father, that hasn't come from you.
That's
we just
right.
Thank you for
amen.
This day, and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sam. God bless you. You're dismissed.